It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Rachel Cox's grandmother was a woman with a big personality and a keen sense of fashion. When Cox, a photographer and now an assistant professor of photography at the University of Iowa, first started taking pictures of her grandmother, she didn't have a particular project in mind. But as her grandmother declined, suffering from a degenerative brain disease over the course of a decade, she felt compelled to photograph her life and death. The result is a book called Shiny Ghost. She'll be sharing her photographs and talking about her experience at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City on March 20th at 7 p.m. And she is here with me now. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Hi, Charity. It's great to be here.
Introduce us to your grandmother. Tell us a little bit about her.
Well, as you said earlier in the introduction, she definitely had a keen sense of fashion. My family is from Texas, and she was from that generation where you were always looking your best, no matter what time of day. So she was always a very fashionable older person and younger person as well. She was very family oriented. I come from a very small family on my father's side. And so it was my father and me and my grandmother and my grandpa. And so family events were very important. Documentation of family events were also very important. And throughout my teenage years, when I first got my 35 millimeter analog camera, I started practicing photography by photographing her. So that's when our relationship really kind of took another a deeper examination, is that we were spending this time together, a very unique kind of creative time. And that's where the project first started.
Why was she your muse? Why do you think you were drawn to taking pictures of her?
Well, as I think I started photographing her around the age of 17. And at that age, when you know everything and you know exactly what you want to do and who you are, and I felt like I was so distant from her in terms of relatability, like a lot of people and the relationships they have with people and their family. And I found her very kind of perplexing and interesting. And I
And you think she probably found you to be
probably
perplexing,
yes,
as well.
Yes, she was probably very concerned about me. And so I photographed her because I didn't know a lot about her. And I wanted to get to know more. And through the pictures I took of her home and her belongings and portraits we made together, I felt like I was able to share a closeness with her that I really couldn't get any other way. And she was also very open to being photographed. She sort of loved it. She had this really endearing sense of vanity that I also found really lovely and interesting. And it proved to make really easy photographs because she got very used to the camera and didn't really change the way she acted or behaved. It was all very natural.
Well, you mentioned a distance between you and your grandmother, and I'm sure that's something that a lot of us have experienced. She was a child of the Depression.
Correct.
And you found that as you were developing your own values, that they were very different from her values. Did the two of you clash?
Oh, yes. The 2008 election, we definitely clashed, and I was going to art school in the early 2000s, and I was adapting to a very kind of progressive new lifestyle, and these are things at 18, 19, 20 years old you definitely share with anyone and everyone, and especially my family, who were smaller in Texas, and these were not ideas that had a very receptive kind of audience, but they weren't very important to me, so these are things I like to discuss at family get-togethers, and they, caused all kinds of dynamic conversations. And so I think that me being just who I was as a young artist entering to art school, trying to find myself creatively, trying to figure out how I wanted to express myself through photography, all of those things made for a very kind of tumultuous relationship with my elders and my family. But I found that, again, the common ground we were able to share is whenever I went into my photography mode, and my grandmother knew I was coming over to make some pictures of us together, make pictures of her in her, in and around her home, that kind of conversation just fell. Like, we didn't talk about politics, or we didn't talk about my future, or if I was going to get married, or, how I was going to be able to make a living as an artist, those kinds of conversations.
And why don't you take care of your nails?
Yeah. Those kind of conversations just totally fell, and it was great. It was definitely more of a intimate, like I said, kind of natural, like safe zone, right. you might
well,
say.
Well, it's yeah. so it's such a beautiful thought because at that point, it would be very easy to pull away. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to necessarily engage with a grandparent.
Yes.
But that created a bond and, mm-hmm. and a place that you could interact in a safe way. Your grandmother, as I mentioned, developed a degenerative brain disease that caused a slow decline. When she got sick, how did that change your relationship?
Yes, I was in graduate school at the time when I had gotten some news from my family that she had fallen, and it was kind of a serious fall. She hit her head, and then she did a lot of examinations to determine, you know, what kind of damage might have been caused from this fall. And then that's when there was a discovery that she had a form of dementia called subcortical dementia, which from the reading I've been doing and from what the doctors told my family and I is accompanied by some hallucinations and also sort of this inability to express one's self. So what makes it different than something like Alzheimer's is there wasn't necessarily memory loss. She wasn't forgetting who people were or events. It was this slow decline of personality, I would say, in terms of the simplest way to describe it. And my photography of her was all about her personality. And so for almost 10 years before 2011, when she was diagnosed, I had been taking pictures of her since, again, I was 17. She was my muse. I learned how to photograph by photographing her. So I'd never really thought about the reality of not being able to do that, or that this person that, again, that I really was close to but definitely perplexed by, that this kind of personality I would lose very quickly. And so I think the pictures in 2011 and 12 that represented the last 2 years of the main bulk of photographing her, they were more frantic and more chaotic. I started to make images that were more performed or staged rather than more documentary because I was concerned I would not get all of the pictures that I wanted of her, and I didn't really know what those pictures looked like yet. I just knew I wanted to photograph everything and anything I thought of in the event that maybe I wouldn't be able to do that in the future.
So you felt pressure to capture everything that
correct.
You could. After you lost your grandmother, you put this collection, part of this collection, I can imagine there are thousands of pictures.
Yes.
You put a very small number of pictures,
yeah,
really,
that's true.
Together in a book that you call Shiny Ghost. Tell me what you want to convey or wanted to convey with this collection.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. There's a lot of images I took over the course of about a decade. And I didn't, through that time period, I went to an undergraduate photography program and a graduate photography program. And so during the majority of all this time, I never showed the images to anyone except my family. I always showed them to my grandmother, but I didn't show them in a formalized academic way. I would maybe try to put one in a gallery exhibition every now and then, but it wasn't until the end of graduate school where, you know, her health was declining and I realized that this was a story that really was important to me, and it was the only story I was sort of interested in telling at the time. And when I reexamined after her death in September of 2012, when I reexamined the images I had made, I was sort of overwhelmed by the amount of them I had. And I feel like as a photographer and anyone who takes pictures of their family, there's only so many images that really need to be shared with other people that have the potential to fit into someone else's experience. So the images I decided to put in the book were the ones that I felt told the most truthful story or the kind of story that I wanted someone else to know, an audience to know. So it was very hard. There's only about 36 images in the book, and you were correct. There are many, many images I made. I shoot film. I shot film for this project, so I have all the negatives still, and I can revisit them later. But the book itself was a very calculated edit of pictures that I felt were the most pertinent or significant ones to share.
It's really a beautiful collection. It's also very raw in some ways. I mean, not only can we see parts of your grandmother's decline, but you also included a picture of her after she passed away. What, as you put the collection together, what did you want people who didn't know your grandmother, who would look at these pictures, what do you want people to experience?
That's a really great question. I think I'm interested in being able to share experiences of other people as a photographer. I mean, you show pictures to family members and friends and audiences and, like you said, strangers who don't know this work. But I think for me, a photograph is really powerful when somehow it touches you on a level of a personal, intimate manner where you can connect with someone and you can see something in their experience and know what they were going through. I think at some point everyone's going to experience loss, and I think that we can sort of become stronger when we connect with people through loss, as well as love. I think love and loss are some of these really powerful emotions that are universal. And in the book, I wanted to really have people see the breadth and complexity of our relationship, and also the complexity of trying to understand someone you don't connect to but you still love, and how do you do that? And so the images that do include death or caskets or her in the funeral home are just another part of that relationship that you, through time and through getting to know someone, especially someone who's older than you, at some point you'll have to say goodbye. And so that is a really significant part of this project, as well as me really coming to the understanding of how our relationship worked and who this person was that I had spent so much time photographing on in this really intimate way.
Your grandmother was a shopper. She was a collector.
Oh, yeah.
She had a lot of clothes, a lot of wigs, a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you include images of some of that stuff in your collection. It feels like it would have been easy to make her look ridiculous, but you didn't. Was that a calculated effort? Did you have to think about that? Because it would have been easy to play up some of the sillier aspects.
That's true. And that's something that I did with the editing. You know, when I was deciding which images to put into the book, I didn't want it to be overly critical of her life choices. And when I was taking a lot of photographs of her stuff and her things and these still lifes that I've made, there's a lot of them in the book, I began to then go home and then compare her collections to my own and realize we all have stuff. We all have weird things we collect. We all have our things that are very valuable to us that maybe other people don't understand. So towards the end of those images I was making, especially of her belongings, I mean, I'm doing the same thing. I have my own weird collections, and so you shouldn't judge someone else for the things they collect. But they were very foreign to me, you know, dolls and wigs and depression glass and these things that I kind of gained a much better appreciation for photographing, and they're prominently featured within the book. But I realized these are things that define this person and they're very important to them, so they should almost act as a form of a portrait within the book, just like the actual pictures of her.
My favorite picture in the book is a picture that you call it Me as Her. Mm-hmm. And you are wearing her clothes. You are wearing one of her wigs. You hold a mask in front of your face. But it struck me so deeply personally because your grandmother had a lot in common with my grandmother. And we did the same thing when she passed away. We put on her things because she had such a unique style. Uh-huh. But also, it's so poignant, as you were just talking about seeing similarities in your life to hers. What did that feel like to you?
Well, as a young person, I'm also an only child. So I was my grandmother's only grandchild and a girl. And so when I was younger, she bought me a lot of clothes, a lot of jewelry, things that I was very much a tomboy. I didn't want any of it. Even though she still continued to buy me those things, this was sort of a point of contention, was our misaligned fashion ideas. And so whenever she passed away and my family and I were going through all her belongings, just like you said, I put on her clothes and I looked at her wigs and thought about how I had always avoided something like this for a really long time. And I think it was just a moment of wanting to do something for her, even though I was alone. I mean, I did take a picture of it and I share it, but it was just another way to sort of pay homage to her. And then I also took a lot of her clothes and still have them now. Things that I never thought I would have worn, but now I keep them and they're in my closet. I look at them every day.
We all have grandparents, if we're lucky, at least. And, you know, we're all going to lose them or have lost them. For someone who may have a person in their life who's near the end of their life, did you learn something that you feel you could pass on to somebody else? Some wisdom from this experience?
I do think so. I feel like I learned a lot about the responsibilities I have as a member of a family, and to be empathetic and understanding and patient, especially patient with people who are suffering from mental diseases, and to be kind during that process, and to just be present and to be there and to spend time with them, because that's really what the project was about towards the end, was just being around and available and emotionally supportive.
You must feel so grateful that you had this time with her.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been so easy to let it pass without that connection. Do you think about that?
I do. I mean, I really value that. And it was something I didn't think of until years later. And especially when the book came out and I had this like tangible, almost album of a non-linear kind of representation of 10 years. And there, like you were saying, there's some images of the book of my grandmother after she had passed away, an image I made with her body and me. It's sort of a self-portrait in the funeral home that my family uses. And the image was made as this real marker of how insignificant this relationship was, not only as a granddaughter, grandmother, but also as a photographer and subject, photographer and muse. So it's a very raw image, like you said, and I was very grateful that my family was supportive of me making that image. But the image is sort of this designated kind of punctuation mark as to how significant this time has been, and acknowledging the fact that it is, I'm letting go of it, and it will, you know, and I no longer can have that relationship. But those are the kinds of things that I do with my photography that I don't actually realize the impact they have on me until much later when I'm looking at the pictures, which is what happened with the book.
Rachel Cox, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Rachel Cox is a photographer and an assistant professor of photography at the University of Iowa. She put together a collection of photos into a book called Shiny Ghost. It features photos of her grandmother and her grandmother's home and pets in her later years. She'll be talking about her photographs and her experience at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City on March 20th at 7 p.m. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.